Good afternoon. Today is Friday, September the 21st, 265th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the Executive Director of the Northern California Community Blood Bank, Mr. Shallard.
Well said, Brian. Thank you.
That's right. Appreciate right order, right letters.
Everything is perfect.
Is it, though?
Sort of.
Is it, though? When we come back, we'll talk about some of the things that are going on out there. We've got fall coming up. Hopefully, we won't have any hunting-related incidents this weekend that require blood.
We hope not.
But there are other things that are out there that we want to talk about, and we'll do so when we come back.
I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Biette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 312. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon. 313. Back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tom Shallard, who's so precise he would have got me on having the wrong time if I
hadn't
said anything.
I might have. We're
very
precise.
Yes.
We use atomic clocks at the blood bank.
See? I don't know why, but we'll get to that in a moment or two. Chinese proverb for Mr. Shallard. Are you ready, sir?
I am ready.
All right. He who asks is a fool for 5 minutes, but he who does not ask remains a fool forever. Huh?
That's a very good management tool. Very good. Very good.
I hadn't even thought of it in that fashion. I was just tickled that I was a guy asking questions, so I was only a five-minute fool.
That's why you're a manager
and
owner.
Yeah, you know, there's an intelligent quota that I failed on that part, too.
Okay.
Tom, different challenges certainly pop up all the time. I think one of the misnomers that a lot of folks have is that, let's say, okay, your business, my business, anybody's business, things don't change that much. I mean, there's a little sexiness, perhaps, let's say the cell phone, you know, with the iPhone coming out and all that kind of. But, you know, blood bank, you know, blood's blood. Things are pretty static. You know, maybe another test here or there. Okay, fine. Radio, I mean, still turn it on. There it is. You know, maybe it's a different song, different this, different. Okay, pretty basic. How challenging is it for you to get the word out how things are changing and have changed and why you're not able to have the pony keg in the back room anymore? Oh, shh. In the management training room, et cetera. And that things change, and this is how they are. And we may agree, we may not agree, but this is how they are.
Yeah, the blood bank, it does face changes and challenges all the time. It's an ongoing thing that we deal with at the blood bank all the time. It never ends, and we have a staff that know that even if you don't like the way it is right this minute, watch out because we may be changing it sometime soon. It's very dynamic in what we're doing and how we're supplying blood and, you know, how we're collecting blood, you know, the tests that we're doing, the regulatory requirements from our government agencies and regulatory agencies and so forth. It's never ending.
If you don't like this upgrade, just wait till you get the next one.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, before you finished with version 5.4, you've got 5.4.02 that you're dealing with.
Jeez.
And all my staff at the blood bank know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, I see.
About.
So O2 is something specific then.
O2 is something that we are working on as we speak.
How much of it is state-based? How much it is federal-based when you're dealing with the regulatory environment?
I think it's a combination. We have a standard-setting organization, the American Association of Blood Banks, and the state of California adopted AABB standards as the law of the state rather than the state trying to keep up with, you know, new regulations. They just adopt these standards. And so the standard-setting organizations are regularly changing the standards and, you know, always trying to pursue, you know, improving the safety of the blood supply. The Food and Drug Administration on a regular basis sends out guidance and other documents with new rules and regulations. Not quite as much as the standard setting group, but frequently enough that it's a real challenge to keep up, because every time there's a change, everybody has to be trained. Everybody, you know, we have to have new SOPs. We have to validate that what we're doing is working, and we have to document that everybody has been trained in it before they can start doing these new activities, or, you know, doing a new test or those kinds of things. So it is a real challenge, and it's added enormous expense to the cost of collecting a unit of blood over the last 2 decades.
Kathy Lehner was in yesterday talking about accreditation and some of the challenges that CR is dealing with. Is there accreditation for blood banks?
Yes. Yeah, we are accredited by the AABB. We are inspected for following the rules and regulations by both the Food and Drug Administration and the California State Department of Health Services, the Biologics Division. We're also inspected by the Pressure Vessel Inspection Unit for the state of California, the Tissue Banking people in the state of California, the Medical Waste Disposal people in the state of California. We have a number of inspection agencies. And, of course, our local fire department comes by like they do with any business, and those kinds of inspections occur as well.
Is there a lot of variability, Tom, state to state? Or are these pretty standard? I mean, if we went to a blood bank in Idaho, same?
It'd be very similar. They wouldn't have the same restrictions necessarily as the state of California, because the state of California has more regulations than, you know, some of the other states.
To what end?
At the time that they're put out, they were, you know, believed to improve the safety and quality of the blood supply. At this point in time, I think it's much less of an issue. When you look at what's happening in the state of California, you know, for infectious disease testing, you know, for example, we are just notified by the laboratory that we send our testing to over in Sacramento that they're no longer going to be doing it. They're sending it out of state. And we have, you know, in California, probably 1.2 million units of blood being tested by all the blood centers in the state. And we're going to be down to approximately 100,000 of them being tested within the state because of the regulatory burden and the tax burden associated with it. For instance, the state sales tax of, you know, it varies between 7% and 8% depending upon where you are. Well, if you have to pay an 8% sales tax on your infectious disease testing, you're 8% behind Idaho or Portland. Or
you have to pay on services?
It's the test, the reagents that you're buying so that you can do the test. You pay sales tax.
Gotcha. KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tom Schallert. Tom, you talked about some of these various tests that the state requires, mm-hmm. and that the feds require,
yes.
also for blood and blood components. Where is the picture of AIDS right now? I mean, you don't hear too much about it. I guess there was some big fancy drug that came out the last little bit that still is kind of pricey and so. Is AIDS still a significant issue in America?
I believe it's still a significant issue in America because the exposure, you know, it's still possible to get it, and depends upon your, you know, behavior practices and so forth. But from getting it from a transfusion is virtually non-existent. There's maybe one every other year that comes in from a blood transfusion where the person, came in, you know, donated in that window period between exposure to the virus and actually being able to test for it. You know, we have very, very sophisticated tests that we use to test for HIV. There's the ELISA test where we're testing for antibodies to the virus, and that test works spectacularly well. Cuts the window period down to, you know, maybe 10 days to 2 weeks. But there's another test that we put into place a few years ago, nucleic acid testing, where you're testing for particles of the virus, amplifying them, and then you've cut the window period down to less than a week. you know, to a matter of days from exposure to being able to test for it. The problem with that test is that it's not picking up very many and it's very expensive. That test costs the United States, blood banking in the United States, somewhere in the order of $300 million to find one additional test that we don't find with the existing ELISA test.
So does it pop positive that often?
No. No, we're according to our data, we're likely to find a positive sometime in the next 300,000 years.
One,
maybe. Could be tomorrow.
300 million annually.
300 million in the United States. The risk, that risk is, you know, nationwide is more like 1 in 20 million, something along those lines. But the cost of it is enormous, and it's an example, you know, from my perspective, and this is just, you know, I'm not speaking for the blood bank here. I'm speaking for Tom Schallert. I think this is $300 million to prevent one HIV case is, you know, in the whole nation is a little, that's, we could spend $300 million and save more lives doing almost anything else in healthcare.
Can you waive that?
No.
It's an individual.
It's an FDA required test.
Okay. Is AIDS AIDS? Is there one strain? Is there multiple strains? Has it morphed or evolved or mutated, whatever the
I think they say. You know, is. I'm not a doctor or scientist, but you know, my understanding is that it has the ability to change, but you know, from our purposes, from the blood bank, the testing that we do catches everything.
Whichever direction,
yeah. There's different treatments that patients are getting. And it seems to be that, you know, the treatments that people are getting seem to be very, you know, very successful. But, you know, if you let your guard down, I think you do run the risk of having more AIDS, you know, that AIDS could come back.
Now, what about hepatitis? Is that
also
the same boat?
The testing also works extremely well to catch hepatitis. We have the similar kinds of tests. We do nucleic acid testing for hepatitis C and hepatitis B, and we catch in the United States, you know, maybe a couple dozen per year that we wouldn't have caught with our other tests. So we're continuing to do both the, you know, what we call the antibody or ELISA test and the nucleic acid testing. It's sort of, you know, belt and suspenders. You know, the problem with it is that the nucleic acid testing is extremely expensive. It's very good. I mean, mind-boggling science. I mean, I don't know how you, you know, I know how to say amplify a particle of the virus and so that you can test for it, but how that actually works, we need to. If you'd like, I could bring in my technical people and they could explain it in.
I prefer to operate it at the third floor.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
We do have people who can answer that question, though, including our medical director and technical people. They're all.
And you keep them sequestered from the public.
Actually, they're very good. With donors and patients. Very, very good.
Some of those challenges have got to be really interesting, trying to stay abreast of these things.
It is a challenge. You have to keep reading, and we keep our staff involved. You know, as you knew, I was president of the America's Blood Centers for a couple of years, and so we stay involved in that. Our quality assurance director is about to be has been on the board of the Blood Centers of California, and so she's staying involved with the scientific medical technical committee. She's going to be president of it in, I think, 2 years or 4 years from now. She'll become president. Our medical director is involved in the scientific group for, you know, nationally with America's Blood Centers and with, you know, and with the state. So we stay up with these things because you have to. You know, you can't just operate in a vacuum. You know, even, you know, out here in the rural area,
yeah, West Undershirt,
the rural area of California.
Yeah,
we have to stay in tune because we're required to follow all the regs that everybody else does.
Is there any relief? Not from the testing, but from the cost. I mean, in San Francisco, say, there's a lot more cash flow going through that facility than there would be, I don't know, not San Francisco specifically, but through a larger metropolitan one, mm-hmm. than the rurals. Do the rurals get any, does the state help out? Is it the county? Is there any kind of a quid pro quo there?
From a governmental point of view, no, but from a operational point of view, we use group purchasing wherever we can for those big national things that aren't going to be provided locally, you know, blood bags and test kits and all those things we buy through national contracts. So we get essentially the same price as the big boys get on those areas.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30. We'll be back with more from Tom Schallert.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back talking shop this afternoon with Tom Shallot. Tom's the executive director, which means he's the boss, at the Northern California Community Blood Bank.
I am the boss.
I know you're going to defer,
but I have a 9-member board representing the entire community that I report to.
I knew he was going to defer. Yeah, right.
Yes.
I keep
my job because of there's at least 5-4 on the voting so far. So majority of one, just like anybody in a board seat.
Any other cover up you want to do here, or kiss
no,
up,
I,
or
no, I think
patting on the top of the head?
That's probably enough.
That's about as safe as okay. How close is the nearest blood bank?
The nearest blood bank to us, there's a smaller depot blood centers that are part of larger ones over in Redding, and then the Portland Red Cross, and then Blood Centers of the Pacific in San Francisco are the closest. There's a blood center in Sacramento also.
Medford, Eugene?
No blood center there. No, they're really? They would distribute blood out of Portland into that area.
Even though it's like an hour and a half. I guess maybe I'm a little jaundiced about no, blood term. Huh, you like that? Yeah.
That is a blood term.
Yeah. That University of Oregon wouldn't have an active in the Eugene community.
There is a blood center. There's also a blood center in Eugene. I'm sorry. There is an independent blood center in Eugene as well, but they just serve Lane County, and that's all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's all they serve.
So they don't feed or...
They don't feed any of the other, any of the other blood centers. Nope, they're an totally independent, just like us. They have a board of directors, you know, and... an operation that's very similar in size to us as well. Maybe
an executive director that can count to five also?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I think his board is 18, though, or 19.
Whoa. That's too many moving parts for me to figure out.
9 is good.
And it's way too high to count.
Yeah. Nine. For you, Brian.
That's twice as much, man.
As long as you have it on the two hands that you can count, you're
that's
in good
right.
shape, Brian.
Yeah, so I can go up to a board of 19. today. We'll see
today,
what tomorrow
we'll
brings.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how are you guys doing it better? I mean, with all these challenges, with the testing that's going on, with the financial challenges that are out there, with the difference in the labor and the community and the employment, how do you keep the door open?
Well, let's say it is always a challenge. A couple of things that we do. We have to collect more blood than we use locally so that we can always have enough blood on the shelf. There's some products like platelets, for example, that only last for 5 days. And we need to keep between 10 and 12 platelets on our shelf at all times because, you know, we have a heart program and cancer treatment program and other hospitals that need these blood products. And we have to keep them.
Are
so
platelets
we have,
coded? Or are they just, they are? It's not like AAB and all that kind of stuff?
No.
Just
no.
They are?
Yeah, well, they do go by blood type, but patients can receive, you know, can receive multiple kinds of platelets in most instances. Not all instances, but most of the time. So, we have the products available for them, and if they aren't going to be used within that short window period, we rotate them to a larger blood center that can't collect enough platelets to meet their needs. You know, oftentimes in some of these rural areas like ours, sometimes patients are going out of the area, and that's less common here actually because we have very sophisticated healthcare up here. But in some of the more rural areas of California, anybody's got any complications is going to go to, to Davis or Stanford or, UCSF or one of those places. And so one of the things that we are challenged to do is make sure that we always have enough on our shelf. So we collect more than we use locally. It's always available for patients locally before it goes out. But our commitment to the donor is that if you let us, go through all those questions and then put a needle in your arm and all you get for it is juice and cookies and some fruit or something, we're going to make sure that product is used. So we have contracts and arrangements with other blood centers to sort of take the excess product. And one of the things that we're trying to do now is is automate this process more, because the testing has gotten so expensive. It's close to $60 to test each unit of blood. And so if we can collect multiple products from each donor, you know, we can save on the testing. And so just this morning, our board approved two more automated machines to be collecting platelets, red cells, plasma, as the, you know, as we gear up to do that. And we have plans in place to be able to take these things out, hopefully sometime within the next year, to have refurbish one of our mobiles and have it be an automated blood collection mobile as well, so that we can bring the automation out to the field and have drives like this in Crescent City and Garberville and Fortuna, McKinleyville, Arcata, and so forth. So
you're still going to have a driver.
You still have to have a driver.
Still going to have a phlebotomist.
You still have to have the staff, phlebotomists and screeners and so forth. Yes. All of that will still exist. We'll be taking the but it should make us much more efficient. And that's what we're hoping for.
You more efficient, less time by the donors?
It'll take more time, a little more time for the donor, because we're just taking the one component and giving them back the ones that we aren't going to use. So if we're taking platelets, we'll collect, you know, the blood goes through this process where we keep the platelets and we'll return the red cells and the plasma. You know, if we're just collecting red cells, we'll return the platelets and plasma and so forth. That's how this system works. Very expensive. They're going to be close to $70,000 a piece. Over the next year, we're thinking we're going to purchase four of them. So we're working on the negotiation with the company, and we think that they're going to give us a very good deal. And it's going to be it's actually pretty exciting. The staff are pretty excited about this, and the donors have responded really, really well to the automated collections, because we've been talking about it and they've seen it. If you've donated in the donor center, you've seen this for two decades now. And I've always said that I think over time we're going to be almost all automated collections. Because it's just more efficient. You don't have to handle it again in the laboratory, you know, as much. Because as soon as the process is over, you have the exact component that you need. It doesn't need more manipulation and centrifuges, and it doesn't, you know, multiple tests on it and so forth. It's pretty exciting.
So if you're saving folks time, staff time, how are you applying that?
Well, what we're going to be doing is probably scaling back the whole blood collections a little bit and taking those people who are doing the donor care for whole blood, and we're going to train them to do this, you know, the automated collections. So there's really not going to be – we don't really anticipate a significant savings in the staff side.
Just a more effective use of their
– more effective hours. Use of their time, yeah. and a better product for patients as well.
KINS, News and Information Times, 343. We'll be back with more from Tom Schallert.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Hagee Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 347. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tom Schallert. You got 3 minutes. What have we talked about that you wanted to talk about?
Well, the need for blood is ongoing. We're always looking for more donors. We're looking for more groups. And you know, we're kind of excited about a couple of things. We have a blood drive. We collect almost 1,000 units of blood each year from Humboldt State students. And this year, Dr. Richmond has challenged the staff and faculty at Humboldt State. And I believe there's, you know, over 1,000 people working up there. He's challenged them to have to support us with blood drives as well. So we're in the process of organizing that with the leadership at Humboldt State. We're pretty excited about that. And then another interesting one that, you know, might even get a chuckle out of a few people: Frank Yeager and Mayor Bass. Supervisor Bass. Sorry.
Thank you.
And Mike Newman, Melinda Cherubellini, and Marion Brady have all been, you know, regular blood donors. And suggested the last time they had a drive that we have an elected officials, appointed officials, and candidates blood drive. And so we are doing that starting the week of October 15th. We'll be having blood mobiles out in every community.
Kind of the community getting even? Is that kind of the thread there?
Not going there, Brian. No? Nice try.
Okay.
But we'll be sending letters to everybody who's running for or holds an elected office in Humboldt and Del Mar counties and it, or representing us. So this is including the state and national people as well. And they'll be getting a letter within the next week or so asking them to support the local community blood bank.
You want to have some fun? Okay. Now here comes my warpness.
Okay.
Get a cardboard cutout of every single one. Put the picture and superimpose on it. When you come by, yours disappears. Good. You see the thought behind it now.
I can see the thought behind it. Yeah. We're looking forward to it because it'll be kind of a fun event. It's going to get kicked off at City Hall, Eureka City Hall, on the 15th, on Monday the 15th. I think at noon is the start of the
drive. So is Rex going to have his barbecue trailer?
I'm not sure if we've gotten that far yet.
Okay.
He may.
Okay,
he may. We haven't.
You want to do it right.
We usually have a little barbecue at the blood bank. I wonder if Paige will go out there with her Buddy Blood Drop costume and cook hot dogs and hamburgers for folks. Anyway,
I wouldn't want somebody in a costume too close. Flammability. You don't want to develop business.
It's going to be a very interesting drive. And the challenge of putting together the list of all of these candidates has been enormous. But we're almost done, you know, with the list. And I've sent it off to a couple of people, say, are we missing anybody? Because we certainly wouldn't want to leave any elected official out of the opportunity here.
Big wide net.
That's what we're doing, casting a very big wide net. And
maybe they're not life size. Maybe they're just little like Cupid dolls or paper dolls or something.
You know, or maybe cutout names or something.
Yeah, well,
I'm going to turn this over though. This is one of those things that you keep administration out of, Brian. And
okay. First floor, not third. Got you, man.
I let the donor recruitment folks organize that part of it.
Thanks for coming by, Tom.
Thank you, Brian.
Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.